Well, let's sing number 320. 320. He hideth my soul. Praise God. Let's sing right to the Lord and expect him to meet us right at the start of this meeting. I know his presence is very near to us already. Experience what we're singing about. Do we know what it means to be hidden away with Christ, in Christ? I would ask you tonight, where do you live? Often we ask people that when we meet them at camp. I live in Canarsie, Brooklyn. I never knew there was a Canarsie, Brooklyn. Yes, there is. I live there. And you may live in Brooklyn or somewhere else, but you know the best place to live is to live in Christ, wherever you are. I was in Brooklyn the other day. I was telling somebody, and I don't remember exactly where I was, but it wasn't a nice place. It wasn't particularly attractive. I didn't feel necessarily at home there. But then the thought came to me, but if I live in Christ, I can be at home anywhere. You know, when Jesus manifests himself to you and you come into his presence and you recognize him, you're at home. That's where you're at home. And you can be in Brooklyn, or you can be upstate in beautiful Brant Lake, or you can be in the most hostile environment in the world. But if you're living in Christ, then you feel right at home, because Christ is your home. Christ is your life. You're hidden away with Christ in God. And that's why Jesus wants us to learn to live in his presence, so that wherever he places us in this world, we can be at home, because we're at home with him. Hallelujah. And I thought about that, and I said, yes, Lord. And I began to worship him, and it wasn't long before I began to sense his presence. And then it didn't matter where I was in Brooklyn. I was there with Jesus, and I always feel right at home with him. That's why we're so happy at Pilgrim Camp, because the Lord draws so near to us, and we all just feel so at home, so loved, so precious to him. We feel like we're where we belong. In the arms of Christ, where we belong. Praise God. And so that's what we're singing about. And God wants not to only be a song to us, but he wants to make that more real to us, that he hides us. We're hidden in his love, and his presence surrounds us, and we know that we're never alone. Praise God. Let's sing that last verse.
When clothed in his brightness,
you know, that song reminds us of the story of Moses. I'm sure it comes from that text in Exodus 33, where Moses wanted to see God's glory. And God said, nobody can see me and live. He said, but there's a place near me, and I'll put you in that cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by you, and I'll cover you with my hand, and I'll let you see part of me. I'll manifest myself to you partially. You can't handle the full manifestation of my presence, Moses, but I can give you a lot more than you have. And Moses saw the glory of God in a way that he had never experienced before, but he couldn't look on the face of God. Praise God. I was wondering, the face of God, what does God look like? What does it mean to look in his face? I told somebody yesterday, or just the other day, I said, you know, I'm afraid that when I see the face of Jesus, he's going to look just like Tyrone. Now, what does that mean? Tyrone's a fellow that comes to our church, and he's always looking for a handout. And, you know, when you see Tyrone come, you know, he's going to ask you for money after the meeting. And that's the only reason he comes. Maybe there's more to it than that. And you could tend to say, oh no, here's Tyrone again. And I smiled at the thought one day that when I get to heaven, Jesus will look just like Tyrone, and I'll realize that I should be loving Tyrone and ministering to him just as I would minister to Christ. You know, and there's something to that. You know, these ones that God sends to us, when we receive them, we receive Christ. When we minister to them, we're ministering to him. And one day we'll get to heaven and we'll realize that Jesus came to me. He gave me an opportunity to minister to him, and I turned him away. And so I don't know what the face of Jesus looks like, but it might look like Tyrone one day. So I want to be nice to Tyrone. And he's sort of a lovable character, but he needs the love of Christ. Praise God. Lord, we want to thank you for your presence here tonight. And we want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that is ours today and before us to draw near to God. Lord, we know that you've brought us up to this camp to make yourself more real to us, to teach us something more about living in your presence all the time, so that when we go back to the city or wherever it is, that you will become to us a little sanctuary. We can live in Christ and feel at home wherever we are. Lord, there is no home apart from you. And that's where we belong. And Jesus, we want to learn to abide in you more perfectly. Lord, we thank you for everyone that you brought to camp, every camper, every guest, every staff member. Lord, we believe that we're here by your appointment. And we believe, Jesus, that you have something prepared for every one of us. Lord, much greater than we can imagine. Lord, we come up here and we think we know what we need. But Jesus, you have a design over our life that is much greater than we can comprehend. And so we invite you to come, Lord, and to open our hearts and to pour into our lives every day while we're here the things that you have prepared for those that love you. And we do love you tonight, Lord. We pray that you will make that love more of what it ought to be as we spend time seeking you and worshiping you, serving you together. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, while I'm up here at Pilgrim Camp, I don't want this to be about me, but I want it to be about Jesus. And the best way that can happen is if every one of us lets the Jesus inside us flow out. And that's why we encourage you to participate in these meetings. In prayer meeting today, I was so glad for those that prayed out. You know, I sit in a prayer meeting sometimes, and when nobody's praying, it frustrates me because I've got so many things to pray about, and I have to hold myself back. I don't want to pray too much and take someone else's turn. But, you know, and I guess as a minister coming up to camp, you're aware of some of the needs, and so you know that there's a lot of things that we need to bring before the Lord. But in our prayer meetings, whether it be staff prayer meeting or guest included, let's feel free to pray out and participate. God wants to use you. And the meetings will be enriched as every one of us just let the Spirit of God flow through us. You don't have to pray long prayers or particularly eloquent prayers, but if you pray from the heart, God responds to that. And we can feel that. We can feel that was a heartfelt prayer. And the Lord accompanied that prayer with his blessing. And also in testifying and in just in our times of worship, let's be free, particularly in the beginning of the meeting, to just, if you have a word of testimony, stand up. When we see you standing, we'll take notice and give you opportunity to say what the Lord has put on your heart. There too we want to glorify the Lord Jesus and speak of him and what he means to us and perhaps what he's done for us, maybe something from his word that he's made precious to us, and something that we can all, you know, enjoy and benefit by. Tyrone got up in meeting the other night, and I didn't enjoy nor benefit by what he said, but he felt free. So we had one half right, the free part. Now we got to work on talking about Jesus. Anyway, maybe one day you'll meet him, and then I'll be sorry I said the things I did. No. Anyway, so let's be free in the meetings, okay? And I'm going to encourage you to do that in every meeting, okay? And so just what you have to say has value. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to say something, then say it. Praise God. And the most important thing is that Jesus has his way in all our time together. Praise God. Then when we leave this time, we won't be thinking about this person or that person, but we'll have heard the voice of Jesus, and that will take home with us, and Jesus will continue to minister to us. Praise God. Let's sing another song. I like number 18. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. I think that all of us can testify to that. I look over this past year since I was at Pilgrim Camp a year ago. God did some wonderful things in my life and that of my family. I'm sure somewhere along the way I'll probably talk about some of those things. And I'm sure it's the case with you as well. You're not the same as you were last year. God has done wonderful things for you. Oh, there have been trials, but he's bringing us through them. But God is worthy of our praise. So let's sing with all our hearts, number 18.
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What has the Lord done for you this past year? Praise God. 281.
Praise the Lord,
hallelujah. that be the prayer of all of our hearts while we're here at camp. Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. And Lord, we know that there's so many needs in people's lives, as we heard, among the children and adults that we come in contact with and our young people. We don't know what's going on in their life, but you're aware of every need, Lord. And Jesus, you have ways of meeting needs that are so wonderful if we'll just let you use us. And yet let the love of Christ flow through us. And so, Lord, I pray for every staff member. We pray together tonight. Every guest, Lord, make us a blessing one to another. Let Christ flow one from the other. And we pray that you'll meet needs as we seek you together in these days. And Lord, in little ways and in big ways, we pray that Jesus will manifest himself and touch hearts, every life. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
You have a song for us, Brother Daniel?
363.
Let's stand as we sing it.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no
Lord, we thank you for our brother Daniel and our sister Ming and for the grace of God in their lives. We thank you for the desires that the Holy Spirit himself has set into them. And Lord, for your faithfulness in causing these desires to lead them closer to Christ. All these years, Lord, together serving you, we thank you for the blessing that you've made them. And we pray that rivers of living water shall flow from their innermost being. As they give themselves to you, we pray that you will, in them and through them, manifest yourself and make them a blessing as they have expressed their desire, Lord. We pray that they shall have the joy of seeing the Holy Ghost working through them. They'll know that it's his working. They'll know that it's his love and it's his power that is touching lives, and you will get all the glory for it. Lord, continue to supply their needs. Continue to bless their family. We thank you for this testimony of your faithfulness, your answering prayer. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue your good hand upon them. And Lord, the purpose for which you have brought them together, fulfill all that purpose, Lord. There are things yet before them that you had in mind when you brought them together that you want to use them in. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause the years that they have served you to just be a preparation for the open doors that you will grant as they stay at your feet and faithful to you by your grace. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. We celebrated a 25th wedding anniversary, my wife and I, not too long ago, May 14th. And we had a little party at my in-laws' house. They invited the church to come. And then we had a little time of worship. Brother Eddie was there, so he led the worship for us. And when he was done, I had to, of course, get up and say nice things about my wife and what a blessing she was. And I even kissed her in front of everybody. It was quite a night. And then we said, Lily, would you like to say anything? And she said, ditto. And I thought, boy, after 25 years, all I get is ditto. Let's see, we've learned something here tonight. Okay, when we come to the 30th, let's do a little better. Some of you know that my dad passed away this past year. He was up at Pilgrim Camp last July, and he was 85 years old. And I say he's the poster child for Pilgrim Camp. You know, we get people, they get older, they say, oh, I'm too old to go to camp. It's too hard to get around up there. Well, we had a wheelchair, and we helped him get around. But he talked about Pilgrim Camp every day. That's not an exaggeration. Every day my dad mentioned Pilgrim Camp. And we were able to get him up here for the last time. And we were glad for that. And the Lord blessed him. You know, he had trouble with his mind these last few years. But whenever we worshiped the Lord, he was all there. It was always so interesting to me. When we talked about the Lord, when we worshiped the Lord, he knew the songs and he could sing them. He remembered all the words. And then he'd weep as the Holy Spirit touched him. One time he was telling me about how he got saved. And he wept as he told me. And then he forgot he told me. So he told me again. And he wept again. And I'm sure this is an exaggeration, but he forgot he told me, and he told me again. And the Lord touched him, and he wept every time he told me. That was so sweet to me, that the work of God was so real, even still in his heart. And the touch of God, the presence of God, was very precious to him. I mentioned before God had done great things in all of our lives. The day that my father passed away, I was at home in Brooklyn. My parents lived 60 miles away out on Long Island. And I said to Lily, you know, Lily, we have a free night. It's a Saturday night. We don't usually do this, but we haven't seen my parents for a while. The kids haven't seen them. And I know my dad likes to see the kids, my mom. And so maybe we can go out there for a few hours. And everyone was so agreeable that it was unusual. Sure, so we all jumped in the car, and we went out to my folks, and my sister Janet said, why don't you bring them over? We'll have dinner. We'll throw something together. I think she made spaghetti. And my dad, he was kind of weak these last few days. He was sleeping a lot. And, Dad, you want to go to Janet's? Well, whatever your mother wants. So I said, well, I'll put you in the wheelchair. We'll wheel you down to the car. You can get in the car. When you get to Janet's house, I'll wheel you to the front door, so you won't have to do much walking. And he was agreeable to that, and so we did that. And he was so pleasant. He told my mother a number of times he loves her. He always told her that he loved her. Very mushy and as he got older. But he would tell me how they got engaged and all this stuff. And then it was time to go home. He ate. I remember he had two pieces of cake. I noticed that. And when we got back to his house, we said goodbye. The kids said goodbye in the car. And then I wheeled him up to his front steps, and I walked him up the stairs. And just as he got to the top of the stairs, he slipped, and I grabbed him. I was standing behind him, and he wasn't getting up. And I said, "Dad, you got to help me. You know, you got to push with your feet and stand up." And there was no response. And my nephew walked out of his room. He was living with my parents at the time. And he said, "Something's wrong, Uncle Kenny." And my father's mouth was open. He was staring, no response. We laid him down on the floor, called 911, prayed over him. And he just never came out of that condition. His breathing just slowly just stopped. And by the time the ambulance got there and started working on him, I'm sure the Lord had taken him home already. And I thought, that how is it that the Lord arranged for me in Brooklyn to go and be with my father the moment he died? That was so precious to me. I told my nephew, I said, "Bruce, that I'll never forget that you were there with me when Grandpa died." He said, "Uncle Kenny, that was the worst day of my life. I don't want to, I'm trying to," he said, "I've been through really bad stuff in my life, but that was the worst." And I laughed. I said, "Bruce, that was one of the most precious days of my life." We saw it so differently, and of course we were coming from different perspectives. But that was so precious to me. And I thought, you just saw the hand of God in everything, in just ordering that day as he did. And you know, when you see God's hand in something like that, it's so much easier than to accept that this was God's time and this was God's will and God knew what he was doing. He could have taken him a year before. He could have taken him a year from now. But he took him that night and he gave me the privilege with my family of being with him. So I praise God for that. Those things you can't express. They're just too precious. I have a few minutes to look into the Word of God with you now. I determined this year, I want the staff to hear me out. I've determined that I'm going to end my sermons as I begin them. That means that I'm going to keep the end in mind right away, so that I don't talk too long and everybody get tired and then they can't stay for altar service or anything like that. Okay, so if you think I'm talking too long, raise your hand and I'll... No, please don't do that. There may be times when I may have to say more than you would like me to, but I'll try to be sensitive to that. I know the staff works hard, they need their rest, and we want to start the season off right. Praise God. So I'm conscious of the time. I got this big clock looking at me, and I'll try to pay attention to him or it. Praise God.